97.9 FM, WCHL, and the UNC College of Journalism and Mass Communication presents Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examinations of issues of overarching importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions to problems in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the UNC campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the continued and heightened emphasis on player safety in high school football. Our guest, Davis Whitfield, Executive Director of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association. Davis, when you think about high school football, Friday night lights, pep rallies, school spirit, homecoming, and now the potential for traumatic brain injury. That is such a hot topic these days. What are we doing in high school football to minimize the risk to players?
Well, I think we're doing a lot of things, Charlie, and I think we had done some things even before this heightened awareness with concussions and brain injuries and the like, leading up to the law being impacted or implemented in North Carolina. Because many of the return-to-play forms and the things that are in place currently with the Gefeller-Waller law dealing with concussions, we had already had in place at the North Carolina High School Athletic Association. We're not only obviously following the law and encouraging our schools to ensure that they have the proper emergency action plans in place that are part of that, but doing a lot of teaching and educating as it relates to concussions. Our board of directors has been a leader in terms of concussion management, concussion training, implemented a mandatory course for all of our coaches to complete prior to practices. The minimum standard is taking the National Federation of State High Schools, which is our NCAA of high school sports. A coach has to take at a minimum the NFHS concussion course before their season. We do have many state counties in the state that have a more extensive concussion training program than that one course that they put their coaches through. So I think our counties are also looking forward at ways that they can educate our coaches in terms of concussion and trying to prevent brain injuries. And remember, when we're talking about football and obviously the equipment that's involved with football, helmets were never designed to prevent concussions. Helmets were designed to prevent skull fractures. And now, obviously, as players continue to get bigger, faster, stronger, even at the high school level, we're having to look at other ways to make sure that those players remain safe and healthy.
I think the coaches play a really pivotal role in this. It was many moons ago that I played high school football, but I remember our coaches teaching us to hit not head down, but face first. They wanted us to hit face first into the groin area. Not teaching us to hit high, not teaching us to drop our heads, but teaching us to use the helmet. And that's something that the National Federation and all of the state high school associations have really been emphasizing for the past 5 years at least, is to keep the head out of the game.
That's correct, Charlie, and you make the perfect point. I think we almost have to change the culture, because even when I played football, not very well, but when I played football in high school, we used the helmet to line our target up and then turn your head at the last minute and put your shoulder pad in your opponent's chest or stomach area. But we use the head nonetheless, and I think that's what we have to do in terms of football, is potentially change the culture and get the head out of the game. Whether you are the tackler or the one being tackled, in terms of making sure you protect yourself once you've either given up on a play or once the play has left you, you better be aware of your surroundings to ensure that your defenseless posture isn't taken advantage of. So the head does become a situation where, just like in rugby and other sports, that we have to get it out of the game.
Two years ago, the supervisor of officials for the state of North Carolina asked the officials to keep up with how often players were losing their helmets. The year after that, players started having to go out for a play after losing their helmets, and the incidence of that went way down. What does that tell you?
I think that tells us a couple of different things. I think One is that the proper fit of a helmet is instrumental in ensuring that the health and safety of a player as it relates to the way that piece of equipment fits is highly important. It tells us that if they're properly fitted and if they are, if the equipment as it continues to get better, it's only going to make our players safer. And I think it also, when we tracked that study, it talked about fit, and it also talked about that once the helmet comes off, now as you know, as an official, you have to cease participation. Previously, young people would try to continue to make that tackle or try to continue in the play when they lose their helmet. Now that would be a penalty. So I think, again, in looking at the player's safety, we're trying to make sure that we implement rules and policies and procedures to keep those young men, and in some cases women, healthy and free of injury. And then, obviously, as the helmet comes off, the penalty is they have to sit out the next play. Obviously, that has carried over into other levels at this point, but I think North Carolina, at the direction of Mark Drivelbus, who is our supervisor official, who does a tremendous job in terms of the concussion issue, player safety, and all aspects of the game, he was a leader in getting that study done, and thank you all for participating. There's some other rules and regulations, as you know, that have been implemented based on some of the health and safety factors, and, you know, at a kickoff now, the only person that can be more than 5 yards from the ball in a kickoff line is the kicker. Everyone else has to be within 5 yards
of
the ball.
To lessen the impact of a 20-yard head start, and then still the tendency of some players to put that head down. So it's like a battering ram almost.
That's correct. And the fact that on the kickoff team, if you were getting more than a 5 yard start, obviously the momentum factor with a guy less than 10 or only 10 yards away from you and then trying to turn around and block you after you had a 20 or 25 yard head start just was not a good recipe for success in terms of injury prevention. So I think to level that playing field more, so to speak, that rule was implemented. I think you also see some of the other rules in the game that now there is no blocking below the waist other than the two linemen's initial engagement at the line of scrimmage. That has been toyed with and adjusted throughout the years, but at this point when you're downfield or even if you get from a fullback to a linebacker, you can't go below the knees. And that's another point I'd like to make, Charlie, is that the target zone, if you will, in terms of contact now, is almost like a baseball strike zone. It's from the bottom of the armpits to the knees. That's the target zone now that our high school coaches are teaching in terms of blocking, tackling, and the physical aspects of football. If you target the head now and make contact with the head, you're going to get a flag. And if it's vicious or deemed to be flagrant, then it could lead to an ejection. And then obviously with the situation with knees and things of that nature, you've got to be careful of going too low in certain situations.
And let's talk about that target zone when Sports Focus continues.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about the heightened emphasis on player safety in high school football with Davis Whitfield, the executive director of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association. Davis, we were talking about the target zone being basically from the sternum area, shoulder area, to the top of the knees. That's the intended target area. You can never keep all helmet contact out of football. If you could, you wouldn't need a helmet, right?
That's correct.
So I think coaches are worried that the emphasis from sports officials and sports administrators is going to hurt the game because they're key players not intending to make helmet contact, yet doing so, wind up out of the game. I think that's one of the worries that coaches have. What would you say to the coaches?
Well, I think that's probably a valid concern of the coaches at this point, and our officials are quite frankly concerned with trying to make a determination as to whether that hit to the head area was unintentional or whether it was an intentional. strike to the head. But nevertheless, we've got to make sure that we do everything that we can from an officiating standpoint, from a rule standpoint, to ensure the health and safety of our players. And I think, again, it goes back to this is going to take some time of transition. But I don't think that the fact that we're taking the head out of the game, as we discussed earlier, means that we're taking the aggressiveness and the nature of football play out of the game. I still think that one can be aggressive and one can be a hard-nosed football player, if you will, without using the head either as a weapon or as a targeting area. We've obviously seen plays, highlights in some cases, of hands, of heads, or of helmet-to-helmet contact that defensive players are trying to use to inflict a sense of don't come across the middle on my watch, or don't stand there and hold the ball as a quarterback because I'm coming to sack you, and I'm going to do it in a way that's going to potentially cause an injury. Those are the kinds of behaviors that we need to get out of the game and make sure that our young people remain safe.
There's such an emphasis on helmet contact at all levels, the pros, college, high school. Even at high school, you show up to at Chapel Hill High School here in town, and Kevin Guskowitz, the UNC faculty brain injury guru to the world, has a device there to monitor what happens, you know, to a player who's been contacted, you know, not necessarily helmet-to-helmet, but just regular contact. So this is part of a bigger emphasis in football in general. And part of the issue has been that parents, some parents, are keeping their kids out of football because of the potential of head injury. I think it's youth football is down by 10% during a two-year period. So what do you say to parents?
Well, number one, parents need to ensure that they are attending the preseason meetings that we require of our football programs. And we would certainly encourage any middle school or youth programs to have the same types of meetings with their parents. Parents simply need to ensure that they are involved and that they are educated. The Gefeller-Waller Law that I mentioned earlier in the program, there are several facets to that. One is education. One is education of the players. One is education of the parents. And there has to be a form that is signed at those preseason meetings to ensure that all of that has taken place at our high school level. And our schools do a really good job with that. They also need to understand the return to play form, that if a student athlete or their young person is injured, a parent needs to ensure that that young person sees a medical doctor to treat that concussive behavior or that head injury situation and signs off before that young person goes back into practice or competition. And the parents need to ensure that they take the leading role as it relates to that. Really, parental involvement, just like in education, just like in athletics, they need to ensure that they understand the signs and symptoms that should a concussive incident take place or a head injury take place, that they get the proper medical treatment for their young person. And certainly we assist in that with certain insurance policies and procedures in place, and it's all there. You mentioned Kevin Guskowitz. He's obviously a leader in this area and obviously a wealth of knowledge, and we're very, very fortunate to have him here in Chapel Hill. Obviously, he is the guru, as you mentioned, for the NFL and has provided us with tremendous amount of knowledge and insight in terms of concussion and head injuries in general. Obviously, there are other things out there that we're looking at. Do we look at baseline testing and having that type of testing done on our athletes, and are we ensuring that the evaluations that we are having our medical personnel perform, are they trained in doing those evaluations? So Kevin's been helpful in many of those areas, and we have to continue to make sure that we have our policies and procedures in place to protect our young people.
We'll continue our discussion on Sports Focus right after this.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion about the heightened emphasis, continuing emphasis, on player safety in high school football. We're chatting with Davis Whitfield, Executive Director of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association. Davis, you've mentioned a couple of times changing the culture. Coaches, fans, many people still say, that's football. You get hit in the head, that's football. You're supposed to be a warrior. What would you say to that?
What I would say to that is that the incidence of concussion and brain injuries have obviously increased over the last several years. And if we're not doing, taking the appropriate steps to ensure that our game remains safe, then I don't think that we're doing our job at the national level, at the local level, at the state level, to ensure that football remains part of our communities, part of our schools, and part of the culture of America.
It's a rallying point, high school football. And is there a worry that we might lose that in an overemphasis on player safety, or is there such a thing as an overemphasis?
Well, I think there are times where we can feel like there's an overemphasis, but I think that's part of changing the culture. Remember back when we were talking about baseball and chewing tobacco? That was part of the game, but obviously that has become a cultural change, and now tobacco is basically out of baseball, certainly is out of high school baseball, or there's a strong penalty for that. So again, in terms of football and changing the behavior of and the techniques of how tackling and hitting is done, I think it's just going to simply be an educational process. But I do not think that by changing the technique that it's going to take the aggressiveness and the ability of our high school athletes to be successful on the football field.
In an article for the National Athletic Trainers Association, a trainer at a local school mentioned that at his school, from 7th grade to 12th grade, they had 10 concussions in one season. Maybe that's a bit high as an average, but you take 10 concussions and multiply that by how many schools there are, and you're talking about a lot of kids who are suffering, you know, potential long-term damage. So, again, for those who say you're going overboard, can you go overboard with something so important?
Well, I think there are so many ways to receive a concussion, being thrown to the ground hard and the head striking the ground, helmet-to-helmet contact. There's so many ways, and it's not just football. It's soccer. It's other sports that we have concussive incidents as well.
For and the girls, soccer is the number one.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so if we're not taking these steps, then I think we're doing an injustice and a disservice to our young people, because obviously only 3% go on to the next level to play any sport at the next level in college or professional ranks. So that other 97% are going to go on, and as they say, and do something more productive and be part of our communities. And we need to ensure that their high school participation is not only enjoyable, but safe. And I do not think that we are overreacting by putting these measures in place, by putting the return to play forms in place, and ensuring that a medical person has examined our young people once they've had a concussive incident. I think it's prudent, and I think it's necessary. And I think the fact that we are seeing the heightened awareness at the NFL level, at the college level, and obviously at the high school level, just helps us create an awareness that if I get my quote-unquote bell rung, I'm not just going to go back into the game and shake it off. I'm going to ensure that I have my mental faculties in place before I continue participation.
When you look at highlights reels from high school football, college football, the play that always draws the biggest reaction from people watching is that big hit. Is the big hit still in the game?
The big hit, in my opinion, is still in the game. The big hit now will occur either with the face mask or with some other part of the body, as opposed to with the crown of the helmet or the front half of the helmet. And that hit should not take place above the shoulders or below the knees, as we discussed.
So basically, we're telling players, head up, shoulder first, below the neck. If they do that, they should be okay.
It should be okay. Again, the target zone is from the shoulders to the knees. So if the target zone is the head, it's going to draw a flag and potentially eject a young person if that hit is deemed vicious or malicious.
That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Davis Whitfield. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And thanks to you for listening. Cheers!
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall of the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a production of UNC's College of Journalism and Mass Communication.